Get started with this is the Vanguard Academy board meeting for Tuesday, February 27th, 2018. And we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. The Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we'll go ahead and do a roll call. This is Kent Johnson, board chair, and just go around the room.
Eric Freeman, board member.
Darren Jenkins, board member.
Grace Mitchell, treasurer.
David Kingston, vice chairman.
Suzanne Owen, director.
Stephanie Evans, minute taker.
Marie Evans, operations.
Okay, our first item is public comments, and we'll limit that to 3 minutes. Are there any public comments? If not any, we'll move on to the minutes, clearing the minutes from last time, and action items. How are we doing on excellence in everything we do?
It's a work in progress.
You and my classes, we've been preparing for the SAGE. And I've had lots of kids at first that were like, oh, I can't do this, and just showing them that they are capable of it and they have what it takes to be excellent on it, then I've gotten to where on the benchmark almost every kid in the class is at a passing standard. So just by them realizing they're capable of it, they've been putting in more effort.
Just through benchmarks?
Yeah.
How about the ACT testing this week?
It seemed to go pretty well.
That was today. There were definitely some... The kids took it very seriously. I felt gave it their best. There were, it felt like there were less kids that had to hurry and fill in bubbles at the end. I think more kids were prepared as far as timing, which is always the tricky part of that.
What were the comments leading up to it? Was there excitement? I mean, was there?
It was split. It was kind of split. We had a little bit of a challenge because. Last year we had a number of our 10th grade students take it as a requirement to get into some of the college classes that they were ready to do. And so they didn't really want to take it again or felt like they didn't need to take it. And so there was a little bit of a challenge there. I can see, looking back on it, I should have had better communication so that they were more aware that this is the state's test, even though, because in the communication that I send out, I did let them know that this is the state-required test, just like SAGE, but I didn't use those words, even though you've already taken it, or even if you've already taken it, and so that's something that I'll do better next year.
I like the, these are the clocks they use, so you, give them 5 minutes.
What percent did you end up getting for the clocks?
There were 54. Yeah, there were 54 that should have, and 7 were not.
So we had 47 out of 54 that tested today.
Yeah, we did have 3 or 4 come in late. We're not allowed to admit them into the ACT late, so they'll have to do it on makeup day.
Just because they were late.
And there was one parent that let me know that their child wasn't able to do it today and would also do it on makeup. So,
you need to get a certain percentage from the state.
It's 95.
95% of our students need to participate.
So we're
what?
It just drops our state grade.
Yeah, okay. It goes
we're
against
graded
our grade.
By the state.
You have 95%. You shouldn't be able to get it.
Well,
as long, if we
it
have,
means that only one of our kids can opt
out.
Only one.
Only one.
And I have one student that didn't complete the pretest.
57.
Yeah. There was one student that I never could get to come in and complete the pretest. Everyone else did. I still haven't talked to that student, but
I briefed
so,
him
yeah.
this morning.
And we'll see. Okay.
So, did have any kids opt out?
I have one that just
one
didn't
that
come in and do his...
That is probably opting out unless they make a different decision as far as the makeup thing.
And this is on the ACT.
Mm-hmm. I did have a number of kids also afterwards say that they felt like they did better this year than they did last year. So I mentioned we had a number of our 10th graders take last year to get into college classes, and there were a number of them that said that they felt like that they were scored higher this year. We'll see in the end. I'm hopeful.
We just need to contact all the ones that didn't take it today, then just
make right.
So you should be allowed two kids to miss it. How many kids do you have?
We have 57. 54. Or 54, sorry. 54 11th graders.
So for 95%, you should have a couple of kids that can't. You have two of them below 95.
Yeah, two is makes it below. One still has you there.
Should, no, three will be below. Right. Two should
okay.
be like.
Oh, okay.
Two and a half, so
when
you
get
0.3,
like
you have
6 years.
We had
7
missed.
Okay. 7
missed.
But some of them
are playing. Don't do the makeup.
There are 4 that I know for sure are actually, no, 4 that I know for sure are planning on doing it on the makeup date, and I will contact all of them.
So we need to get 5. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'll contact all of them. We'll work with them and get what they need.
Yeah,
okay. Okay, anything else on that? Excellent. We're going through the minutes.
Approved last time before we get too far.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, let me step back. Did everyone get a copy of the minutes from last time? Why don't we go ahead and look at those and see if we want to approve them. All in favor of approving the minutes, say yes.
Yes.
All opposed, say no. So the minutes have been approved from last time, and we'll continue with the open points. The next open point is for Kim. We may have to just get back with him on that to track the talk about the building and if we need another exit. Does he talk to you at all about that? We'll just leave it.
No, and I don't know that we have any data. I know we've had a couple of events, but again, we did the concerts in 2 separate concerts, so we didn't have
an issue.
The number of parents that we would have had with a full-on concert. So.
Okay, we'll leave that open for Kim's feedback on that. The next one is to come up with a recommendation on how to, if we're going to apply for this name designation. I think that's passed. We're probably looking at next year if we want to do that now.
Mm-hmm.
So we could forward that. The next one is the 180-day plans. House. And Joy's not here, so.
She's not here. She said there hasn't been much change in, you know, there's not any change, anything new to report
okay.
since last meeting.
Do we need to continue to have that on this list, or do we want to check it off, or it's...
So does everybody have their 180-day plans?
Grace was the one that opened it,
yeah.
That's right.
The last report she provided, then no.
So until
the...
Yeah. Okay. So maybe next time she'll bring that, and we can see what the percentages are. Okay, the next one for Joni is... our absent report, include that on the top summary.
I do have that, I've got a copy of one.
And we have an absence.
It's included on this.
It's included in some of the reports we've been looking at. We're still We should include, we should say, what's your top summary?
Yeah.
Is that for the management recording? Or what was your
top
summary? Yeah, when I said top summary,
it was for the top summary.
And so we, I think we need to leave that open
some
until
information about that. Two different reports. One has excused versus non-excused. The other is just a calculation of the number of absences by grade level.
Absences and not as well. I actually got that report and I didn't really do a printout for today, but
or it was here from our governance. Yes. There's not enough for everyone, but they can look at it and review it.
No, they're just it's similar to this other one. What I actually did is I added on here average to sort of look so you can see what the average number of students who were absent each day for grade level. So I just added some columns in there. To help see averages in there. Sometimes it'll draw numbers from, but I have a lot of how many numbers there are. So it's some looks like this. I guess that's a different one. I printed a different report then, I guess.
Oh, okay. So you just referred that one?
No, that's one that Suzanne gave you. And then I have another one there. I'm not sure what the difference is in between these two. These two look like they're the same. I'm not sure what
Suzanne said.
Both of these are, yeah. And then this is the one that I sent. It just shows you the attendance, and so you look at it. We've got seventh graders. We've got the nine students absent of all the every day. So in first period, there's two students absent. Second period, two. Third, two. Fourth period, one. And then leadership is two. So that's kind of averages.
Sorry, I'm wondering if those averages would be accurate because you wouldn't add up the total number of absences. If I want two kids absent from first, second, third, and one from fourth, and two from leadership, it looks like there's an average of two students absent for the day.
You're right. Those numbers don't add up. I'm not sure how Rebecca calculated this total summary. She says it just added them together.
Well, it would add them together, but I don't know that that's giving you an accurate piece of data. Because it looks like that would be two students absent on average in any given day.
In seventh grade.
Rather than nine students, right?
Because mm-hmm.
there's nine total period absences.
Right.
On average.
Yeah.
What is the two?
That's two students absent for first period. Two seventh graders absent every day from first period.
On average.
What is the nine percentages on there?
Nine periods.
Two out of 100 or
and there's 87 students here.
87 students on the left.
Tell us all these numbers are again. So you have the total. You have 1, 2, 3, 4.
So those are your
classes.
Periods. Yep. And leadership, actually, I think leadership should go first because it is
that's
first.
That's LD.
Yeah.
Then
you got excused with ones who, what's an excuse?
Excuse means the parent calls in and excuses that their absence. And then unexcused, so you can see that there's quite a few parents that probably don't even realize that they should be excused on their kids' absences.
And then we should have a total out of, so we got 772 people absences per quarter out of how many possible.
And that's the part that I think is for report. So I took the report with what I had and just estimated it. I don't know if the average ones, which is the shaded part that I calculated, I don't know if that's accurate.
And this is.
I just did that based off the number of students.
And this is classes.
Yeah.
So if you total all first, second, third, fourth, leadership, what would be a total of 7?
Mm-hmm. And it's 40 days. First quarter is 40 days. Second quarter is 40 days. Third quarter was approximately 40. I don't remember. I think it was 43.
To about just under 200 per average quarter. So
students enrolled?
498. So if you go to quarter three, then are the numbers coming down here 10, 14, 9? Is that per grade level?
Yeah, and those numbers, those ones are total for the day. And I'm not sure why it's calculated. Because it's just, what I did is I took the total absences and divided by how many students there were. Rebecca created this report, and so I'm not 100% sure. She says it's just totaling those numbers. So the total, all the first, second, third, fourth, leadership, all those numbers added together equal the total absences, which is on the top above it. And then I just took those total absences divided by how many students there were, giving us the shaded areas.
Yeah, this doesn't seem right here. So maybe see what.
I would think that number is the total number of periods, or average number of periods absent per day.
Yeah.
So there are about 9 in our 7th grade, about 9 absences total, or 9 period absences total.
You're talking about quarter one.
If we go to quarter two and three, you can see they're 10, and you can see the absence rate is increasing as the year progresses. Of course, in 10th grade, it looks like it decreased from quarter two to quarter three.
Mm-hmm.
But so we've got an increase across the board everywhere.
Is this saying we're missing about 2 to 3 7th graders every day overall?
It's saying, I think it's showing how many absences per student per quarter. So on average, in first period, a 7th grader will have 2 absences.
Every student.
Because you divided it by students, so then it takes it down to per student.
Each student is absent twice. You're right.
On average.
So every kid in 7th grade on average has about 2 absences every quarter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Average number of absences.
Do we know how we compare with the state average?
I haven't looked at this year, but last year we actually got accolades because we actually had, we were the only charter school with attendance rate that didn't exceed.
Well.
Because when they look at that, then if you have an excessively absent student, that's a student absent for 10 days or more, and our average of that was lower than any other charter school in the state. Charter schools tend, though, to have horrible absence rates because they're not neighborhood schools. Kids don't walk to charter schools. They're transported somewhere.
I actually think our attendance, if you look at it, there's a lot of kids that don't have attendance problems, but we have a large number of students that have quite a frequent number of absences.
So how do we want to look at this?
So, you tell me how you want to report this.
Yeah,
it kind of felt like
summary.
It didn't have the information.
Put a school minor on the top summary and have it detailed. But I'd want to have a percent absences per student.
Maybe a percent per grade level?
Yeah, percent per grade level. And then compare that to the state.
So percent to the state,
and maybe last year how we were. Are we doing better? Are we doing worse? Or give us a reference point.
And I think the thing we want to do is we look at the number of unexcused versus excused. We need to educate our parents and have them make sure they're calling to excuse those absences. Because there's statute in place that says that the parent can excuse their child for any reason. They just need to call and do it. And then the other thing is that we just need to look. And I think it's nice to have a summary, in my opinion. But I would like to see those chronically absent students. I'd like to drill it down to the student level and see which students are chronically absent.
I actually do have that report at student names. I wasn't sure if I should bring that one.
So this, I think it'd be interesting. It'd be good to have the summary plus the chronically absent students.
So you want to actually see the students' names that are chronically absent?
If they have missed more than 10 days.
Okay, I do have that. And I can get
not 10 class periods, 10 days.
So I think if to clear this off here.
And
then
what is determined as a day?
I think that was figured to be more than 3 periods in one day, I believe.
based upon our schedule.
Look at how the state, because the state has their percentages that they compare us against.
They actually, it depends on our schedule, mm-hmm. because there's a certain percentage of the day that they consider as a day's absence versus
I don't like the period of absence, but you always have to do it that way. You have to because some of us want
to
do it.
Yeah, and it's nice to see the periods there too.
Yeah.
If we were to include League Club on
first period of League Club.
Yeah.
That's the high one.
Leadership's pretty rough too.
Yeah, leadership's pretty rough. But
is that LD?
Yeah.
Leadership.
And
that's
what,
first period of the day.
The first actual period of the day. League clubs.
A lot of the students treat it as not, though, and so they just come for first. I think a couple of the ones that came late for the ACT today are just kind of used to coming around 9:15, because that's
kids.
When, and it was our college kids.
We
so.
Have college kids that are supposed to be here at 3 o'clock, and they show up at 8:30.
Huh.
I guess
they're
about me coming in
late. So
to
jumpstart somebody.
So we make changes to the summary.
We are putting together procedures for our staff, and we're also we're looking at getting someone else in there to help support it.
What's the procedure? Just call them?
Yeah.
Well, it's the procedure that helps us know how do we follow policy. Because we have our policy in place, and our policy states that after a certain number of absences or tardies, then this will occur and that will occur. So how do we make it happen? What's our procedure for making that happen? Who's responsible for making that happen?
Yeah.
So we're trying to get that outlined to make sure that we can get that taken care of and start following our policy.
So that's the real open
one. Yep.
So
start following our absence policy.
Following the absence.
And we currently have one. So
mm-hmm.
we just need to... either follow it or amend it.
Yes.
So we're going to have a procedure in place
yeah.
by next board meeting. And then
does the quarter start next board meeting? Because we're running up toward the end of this quarter, and we want to start implementing some of these, yes. But to be honest with you, our policy states that after such and such number of absences per period in any quarter, then it results in this consequence and that consequence and whatever else. At this point in time, yeah, we could go back and say, okay, Johnny has 14 absences in first period. Well, that's well beyond. Okay, you're suspended. You know, because we haven't done our due diligence and marked that time and communicated with parents. So my thoughts are as we start implementing those procedures, so by the beginning of first or fourth quarter, then we're very diligent in following the protocol.
So you're going to have the person identified that's going to follow.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have the procedure set.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hopefully the third quarter ends would be
mid-March.
That procedure for that policy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
By next board meeting, we should have all of those pieces in place, yes.
So we'll leave this until that summary is as we stated, and then... add that extra point on there.
One other question on that is, what's the purpose of having an excuse versus unexcused? Do you report it differently to the state?
Mm-hmm.
An excuse is a penalty, an excuse is not.
Mm-hmm.
So the 10 absences per student, that only counts an excuse as far as what the funding goes?
It affects it, yes. I don't know exactly how, and it'd probably be good to research it.
Okay. Any more on that? So let's go to the next one. We need to see the assessment and the grading reporting with the data filled in, and that's for Murray.
That was your person you were looking at.
And I believe. On that. What was I thinking on that? So the assessment and the grading report.
So
the report I keep thinking back on was the one from last year from Mastery Connect. Is
yeah.
that
That's, I think that's
but the equivalent of what we're doing this year for, we're talking about the assessment and grading reporting data filled in.
Those reports we were asking for in the governance committee.
The ones
and
that
so
we've started putting together? Those?
And some of them we have, but I don't know if we have that particular one.
Is that assessment?
Because you're wondering about mastery.
So
this is
the
mastery.
Still
isn't. I think this is the mastery.
Yeah, that's not what this is. This is just
yeah.
term grades.
They want mastery with the grades,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
We haven't done that yet.
And that's what this whole point was.
Okay.
It's for the mastery. Why don't you change, or just put in parentheses mastery, so we understand that.
So
I think that was still
working on it.
So the next one is incorporate the new academic grading policy with the old policy and send it out. And that was for Kathleen. I think that, I believe that was sent out, right?
I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any more questions on that, Darren? That was opened by Darren, I think.
I think it might have been me that opened.
Or David, sorry, David Kingston.
So we were going to be approving the policy, and then I think you opened an open point to have a few things added to it and then have it sent back out to review it.
Okay. And have we received the updated policy?
I think Kathleen was going to try to do that for the following board meeting because I don't think that it was ready for your review.
Okay.
Or we didn't get it out to your you soon enough for
okay.
review.
Okay. Yeah, I don't recall seeing it, but it wasn't in the last meeting either, so I don't know if I missed it.
Okay, so we'll leave that one open.
I think it's still open.
The next one is go through the board preparation checklist to make sure we follow the code. And that was for Stephanie.
So we did go through it, and I didn't get a chance to meet with Colin to have him put it on the website.
Oh, okay, so we still need to put that on the website.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, the next item is what requirements are able to get credit for work release? What the requirements are?
Well, the State Board of Education, and there's a couple of different ones. There's a work release, which is just the basic credit, and then it's the kind of the way that is done is up to the board and up to the school of how they want that to function. We have found some things on the website and the State Board of Education website that has checklists and training checklists and things that students could take for different types of work that they have. So it's kind of however we want to set it up and whoever we want to be in charge of it. So we could offer that right now. However, if you look through the codes, there's not a core code specifically for that. Other schools just find one that's closely related. The guy that I talked to at the state office in the CTE program said that he recommended that I call or that our board, we get permission from our board to request a code specific for that because there's not really one for it. There is a work-based learning program that they have where you would have the opportunity to have, for example, a student might go through a series of three levels of courses. So you might have like Web Development 1, Web Development 2, and then maybe college level Web Development or Web Development 3, and then do some kind of internship work-based study, different things like that that you can work on. That kind of program would be much more extensive, but I think if we're leaning toward the academies, that kind of makes sense to work in that direction in the future. He did give me a contact number for someone that works with charter schools that we might be able to work with other charter schools in a program like that. But it is that one's going to take a bit more effort to get that program running. But as far as just getting credit for our kids taking work release, that can happen right now. It just needs to be board determined on what that would look like.
So do we need to get a policy in place so we can?
I would think so.
Have we been approving anything at this point?
We haven't yet. We actually have some students that are on transition plans that are starting to do that. They're not getting credit for the work release. It's just marked as release, but we are following some of those procedures. We just need to put a code on there saying that they get credit for it.
How many students are affected that should be getting?
Most of our, probably all of our seniors. than
doing
several juniors.
Is that hurting anybody, or is that?
It hurts our funding if we don't do that.
So
if it's a non-credit course, then a certain percentage of the day that the students aren't attending,
then we lose
that,
that
percentage
funding.
Is
so,
cut.
And I have so many
problem
classes.
The school more than the kids.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt the kids.
Some of the kids might benefit from it. The biggest thing is school.
And I asked him how many that we could provide for students, so it's kind of a school choice, school choice. I don't know what that would look like and how much credit we'd want to give them.
Could we have something ready for the board to look at next board meeting? Would that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next one is for Suzanne. Is have the director's report include a summary from the observations, and I think that's the one we have done. And we're still in the process, we actually.
Yeah, it's not quite in summary form yet, but.
We made progress.
It's
on the
more.
So we're almost ready to check that out.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions on the open points? We'll move on to the next item, is the director's report. And turn over to Suzanne.
I don't have a lot. I mean, there's a lot going on. I haven't compiled a summary report, and as I mentioned in an earlier meeting, what I'd like to do is move toward formulating our management reporting packet. And then the director's report really should follow the kind of protocol or the guidelines that would be created by that. So by that I mean, as we look at our organizational chart and we have the different management positions, so we have our business management, we have our student services, we have our operations, we have our curriculum, we have our facilities, we have our human resources, and so on and so forth. So I believe that what I'd like to move toward is so that there could be an organized way of reporting out to you all that here's what it's looking like in management or in our facilities. You know, how's it being maintained? Any problems with it? And for instance, this piece of land, I was just emailed by the owner of that land over there and said he's ready to sell. So it's kind of like, is that something that we should be looking at? So it should be able to add into that. Business and finance, I'll have Marie, if you don't mind, see if that email came through.
It is,
so
it's right here.
Post that one already. So Kathleen did do that, and I'll just kind of have Grace, if you don't mind, kind of look at that report and kind of feed out with that. So that would be our finance report. Our enrollment report, we've kind of looked into our finance because, well, that's what gives us our budget, is what our enrollment is. We stand to lose 20 of our students to early graduation, and by lose, it's not really losing, we're gaining, or they're gaining, but that, of course, means that there are a few additional kids graduating than we had anticipated, given the fact that our senior class is only 49 students strong, 48, something like that. We have about 69 graduates scheduled to graduate. So that leaves 69 spots open for our incoming 7th graders, and then if the state allows a 3% increase or wiggle room, then we could have up to, I think I calculated somewhere around 87. So we have somewhere between 70 and 87, somewhere around there, that we would have openings for. Our enrollment closes tomorrow. I am going to look at those numbers, but I think that we are already over-enrolled. So we will be in a lottery situation. So that's where we are with enrollment. And then we want to look at it because I believe that we could accommodate more, and I think we want to look at increasing that enrollment probably in the next 3 years or so to maybe amending our charter, but want to look at the numbers and how we're doing as time goes on. So that's where the enrollment is. Operations, Marie is working on that, and that's the summary thing that we have put together. In essence, we're doing one-to-one observations and meetings with our teachers to analyze teaching practices, red flags, green flags, see how we can best support our teachers, help improve the performance of our students through that process. So Maria's heading that one up. And that's where the summary is, and we're working toward really having that impact of increased student achievement on that.
as we look at our student services, if there's anything more that Joni would like to bring out. Attendance kind of ties to student services. And so if there's anything more that she wants to bring out, then she can do that. But again, I'd like to move toward having that management reporting packet. So when we meet on the board meetings, then you can, it really is going to be more organized to the point where you say, okay, how do the facilities look? How does the budget look? How does this look? And so on and so forth. So if there are any areas that I haven't covered that you're wondering about, I'd be happy to have input or questions on that. And then I'll have Marie project the finance report that Kathleen has prepared, and then maybe if Grace has any insight to it, because she can read it better than I can. So I'll just kind of defer to that. And other than that, I don't think I have anything.
It's 215.
What?
Are we in 215?
211.
How much did they want for the property next door?
$1 million. They said they got an unsolicited offer of $1.1 million.
They also included, there's a lot down the street that's an acre that's going for $1 million. Or no, sorry, $600,000. And this is,
and this
four,
is four,
four
acres.
Acres. So if you
four
translate
acres.
16,000 times four, then
it's not too bad.
I'm pretty sure that unsolicited offer came
I think
from an Everhall.
I think he's expecting around $2 million, I think, is what he's looking at.
Yeah.
I think if you look.
He said he'd take $1 million.
No, he said
no,
someone
he
offered.
No, he said he had that.
And he didn't respond
offer.
To him.
Well, he wasn't ready to respond
ready
then
to
because
respond.
I guess he's got a building there as well. And something to do with taxes, he wanted to hold on to the land, and then I guess there was some tax law change or something, so he was ready to let it go, whereas he wasn't before.
So we could go on the other side of the Denver Hall with the building over there. He had purchased that building, so it's just almost connected to the empty lot over here.
So it was,
so if we purchased both of them.
Sorry, what?
If we purchased the building and the
Well, I think he sold the building.
Did he sell it?
I thought that's what he was saying, that the sale went through on the building, and he,
oh, okay.
Because of tax